I have a line up here, and I need to put something there so that you know which direction we're going. Who in the Bible said this? Now, some of you know what I'm sharing on, so those of you that know, maybe you can refrain from answering. Who in the Bible would have said these words? But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. We want to focus today on this phrase, the voice of thanksgiving. Anybody, it's in the Old Testament. Nobody wants to guess. And so I will go on to say what else he said, a man. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. No, it starts with J though. What was the?
Jephthah.
Not Jephthah. No. This man got on a boat one time and took a little journey. Jonah. There you go. Jonah. So we're going to put Jonah. And we're going to say Jonah's story. And we're going to look at that story here today. So if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Jonah. It's a fairly short book, and we'll see how far along we get here. My idea is to read kind of one chapter at a time and make a few comments. I want to look at Jonah's life and then turn that around and maybe make it a personal for each one of us as it relates to Jonah's account. Why is this story written for us today? Why has it been preserved for us today? And I believe it has been preserved for us to learn life lessons that Jonah learned. And so that's what we want to do. So let's start reading Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, and I'm sorry, why don't you stand at least for this first chapter. Verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go up with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lower parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us, so that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you? So he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceeding afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you, that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up, and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land. But they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done it as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered the sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Thank you. You may be seated. Quite a story. And many scholars today look at this account and refute it. They say this, you know, cannot happen because of what took place here. A man being in the belly of a fish and living, coming through it, they say it can't happen. We would feel that God did allow this to happen, and the story is here for us today. What can we learn from it? What was the command that Jonah had from God? Help me out. What was the command?
To go to
Nineveh, a very large city, huge city. Jonah, I'm sure, there are many questions and things that went through his mind, but it didn't take him long, and I think he decided that he is not going to preach. And so we look at the direction that Jonah started down. I looked on the map to find out where Nineveh was at compared with the direction that he went. And it's interesting, of all the things that he did, most of the time it says that he went down and went down and went down. And so let's look at some of that. First of all, Nineveh was north of, maybe, I'm not sure where he would have started. But anyway, he went down to Joppa. And Nineveh's up here and Joppa's over here. We could draw it maybe on a map. But so he went the opposite direction. That's the direction that Jonah went. He went the opposite direction of where Nineveh was located. He went down to Joppa. That's in verse 3. And then in verse 3, it says that he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down into the ship. I don't know exactly how that looked, but most of the time you get into a ship, you can climb up, but most of the time the water is down below you. And so evidently he is probably, if we want to get a picture, he was on a dock and he went down into the ship. And then in verse 5, he went, after he got into the ship, it says in the latter part of the verse, but Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and laid down and was fast asleep. So he entered the ship and he moves on down to the bottom of the ship somewhere. I don't know if that was sleeping quarters or if what it was. Maybe it was where they stored things. And he just went down as far away as he could get. Remember, he's fleeing from the Lord. He's fleeing and trying to move away from what God has asked him to do. I don't know what his plans were. I have no idea what he was thinking. Did he think that this is going to work? What his idea was, but he was moving away from what God wanted him to do. And then in verse 17, he experienced another downward direction. And that was when he was thrown into the water. That's verse 15. He was thrown into water, so he would have went down further yet. And then, of course, in verse 17, it says that the fish came and swallowed him. And then in chapter 2, verse 6, and we'll read that in a little bit, but it says that he went down to the moorings of the mountains. In other words, this fish took Jonah all the way down to the bottom of the ocean, down somewhere very low. And that is where Jonah ended up. So, quite a story. Now, Jonah is in, we ended up, Jonah is in the belly of the fish. Can you imagine that? Running from God. Further and further away he went from God. Now, we're going to move to chapter 2. And this chapter is a little shorter, but it speaks of what Jonah did. And it speaks of the prayer that he made. Chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of mine affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, or out of hell. That was what he was experiencing here in this belly of the fish. and you have heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me, and your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Verse 10. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Now, we end the chapter, and Jonah is out on dry land. He has come back out of this ride that he had with the fish. Jonah's prayer, he cries out to God because of his affliction. In verse 2, it says, because of his affliction, the struggle that he was in, he is running from God, but now he cries out to God in the midst of his affliction. It says, out of the belly of the fish and hell, he cries to God. What an experience that he was going through. He's in a tight spot. Verse 5, it talks about the waters that have compassed him. The depth closed around him. Weeds were wrapped around his head. Can you imagine this? This man in this fish. And I thought about going down here to the coast and bringing some seaweed here. That's pretty long, nasty stuff. And wrapping around someone's head. I didn't figure anybody would want to have that happen to him. But that's what he was experiencing. And it talks about the bars that were around him. I don't know if that was the whale's ribs or what it was. But you know, you can imagine what he was going through. I guess we can't imagine. But this is where he was at. He was in a tight spot. But in verse 7, here's a key. It says, "When my soul fainted within me," when he was in this position, he says, "I remembered the Lord. I remembered the Lord." And this brought him then to his prayer. Jonah prays. And in verse 9, he says, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. It's interesting that he starts off his prayer and he's talking about thanking God, praising God in this situation. Why does he bring up this whole thing of thanksgiving? How can he thank God from where he's at? And then he goes on and says, I will pay what I have vowed. And I wonder what that vow was that he would have made. At some point, he evidently made a vow with God. What was that vow? But it was something that he knew that he must live up to. And so he was saying, this is where I'm at. A couple of verses that would go right along with this. Two things here that he's saying in his prayer is he's thanking God for God's mercies. And he's also saying that he will pay that what he has vowed. Hebrews 13:15, it talks here about thanksgiving and the importance of it. And it says, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So we are to continually offer this sacrifice of praise to God, and that is thanking God for what he has done for us continually. If we're experiencing a ride with the fish like Jonah was, that is what he was called to do, and that's where he found himself. And then as it relates to vows, how important are vows? In Deuteronomy 23, 3 verses there, it says, when you make, verses 21 to 23, when you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it. For the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and it would be sin to you. But if you abstain from vowing, it shall not be a sin to you. That which has gone from your lips you shall keep and perform. For you voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised with your mouth. And we want to look here in a little bit of a vow maybe that you have made in your past as it relates to your commitment to God. And we'll look at that here if time allows us. So Jonah seeing the importance of committing this part of his life to God, coming through with his vow, and then thanking God, a prayer of thanksgiving. Because of this, this brought the fish around and brought Jonah out of the fish's mouth. The next verse, after he had shared this, it says that God spoke to the fish, and the fish vomited Jonah. Now, we're going to move to chapter 3. And let's read chapter 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Here God is speaking to Jonah again. Jonah is out. I don't know immediately when he hit land if God spoke to him or if he was able to dry off or what. But God spoke to him. And here's what the Lord said. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh. I can imagine there was no question in his mind that that is what he is going to do. He went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And I don't know what all that three-day journey means. Some think that maybe that meant in his preaching he would go and preach and then he'd walk to another part of the city and preach. And maybe in that way it was 3 days journey for him to go through it. I don't know, but it was a very large city, very large. Now, verse 4, and Jonah began to enter the city in the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger, so that we may not perish? Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God relented from the disaster that he had said that he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. What a change from what Jonah had preached. Jonah obeys God, goes to Nineveh. He preaches that the city will be overtaken in 40 days. That was his message. And the people listened. They listened and they repented. We see here what took place. Even the king proclaimed this to the people. It says even that the animals were covered with, what verse is that? Were covered with sackcloth, yes. In verse 8, quite interesting. They were serious about this. They wanted to make sure everything was taken care of. And so they went to great extents and repented. God relented from the disaster that he said that he would do to them, and he did not destroy them. You would think that Jonah should have responded in a much better way than what he did. Jonah did not respond in a good way. Let's see what happens here in chapter 4. Let's just move right on to chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. Why would a preacher become angry when someone repents? This is what happened. Verse 2, so he prayed to the Lord and said, oh Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. It seemed like maybe that's one reason he said that he didn't go the first time, because he knew that maybe this would happen. I don't know. But it was like he knew that this was the type of God that he served and the way he operates. Verse 3, therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? And this I guess turned Jonah, and he does this. Verse 5, so Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it grow up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as the morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it was so damaged, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened, when the sun arose, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head, so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, it is right for me to be angry, even to death. But the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock? It's interesting, the size. We talked a little bit about the size of this city, and here this number here, 120,000, may only be talking about the very young children. The thought is given that this, not knowing what their right hand or their left hand is doing, could have meant this was only the young children here. And so there's one figure of there could have been as many as 600,000 people in this city. And they were spared. Rather than being destroyed, they were spared. And yet Jonah finds himself in his little booth, in his little shelter, and he's you'd say he's maybe pouting, or he's discouraged. He's definitely discouraged. And he is displeased with the way God is handling the situation. Job is angry at God. Verse 1, it says, he became angry. Became angry. What all does that mean? God asked Jonah, is it right for you to be angry at God? It doesn't say what Jonah said, but it does say that he leaves the city and then found a shelter to put himself in. I don't know, was this at the end of the 40 days and Jonah maybe was going there to watch from a distance, that maybe God is going to destroy the city and I'll just prove to them, you know, that what I said was coming about. God actually starts working on him and does an amazing work there just through a small little plant and then a worm. God caused a plant to grow up. I don't know if this plant grew up. I always thought that maybe this plant grew up after Jonah found him a little place to sit down, and then this plant grew up. It may have happened that way. It may have happened that God had the plant there before, and he went there, seen this nice little place, and found himself there. Evidently, there probably wasn't many trees around, a fairly barren desert-type place. But anyway, he finds himself there. There's a little tree that God had put there, a gourd, a vine of some kind, and was offering him very much protection from the heat, the sun, and whatever else weather there. And he was enjoying that. And then the worm comes out, and God takes that away from him. And it's like God's taking him on another journey again. And he doesn't appreciate what happens. Verse 9, God asked him again, is it right to be angry about the plant? When that plant died, Jonah was not happy at all, because now he was faced with things that were very hard for him physically to go through. The sun coming down. It says that God prepared here another wind that God prepared that came in the sun. And he was at the point that he was at the point of fainting. Maybe he did. But he wanted to die. That is where he was at. He was a very unhappy man. And then God says, and Jonah says in verse 9, God asked him, is it right to be angry about a simple thing as a plant? And Jonah said, yes. He said, it's right. He said, I have the right to be. And he said, even unto death. That is how strong he felt about it. Verse 10, God explains to him that here Jonah was more compassionate about this little plant than he was about the many people in Nineveh. Compassionate about the plant that gave himself comfort more than the people of Nineveh. Jonah's biggest problem, I believe, was himself. The big I. The selfishness. It was all about him. What would people think of him? And what felt good to him in protecting himself, I believe, was much of what Jonah struggled with. Whenever Jonah took the selfish route in both of these situations, God was preparing, had something prepared for him in each situation. The first time it was a fish, now it was a worm, a plant, and then a worm. So God had ways of preparing things for us, and we see how he did it for Jonah. So let's just look here, just put some of these things together rather quickly. Interesting to look at all the preparations that were put in place by God in Jonah's life. First of all, I believe God prepared the ship. It doesn't say that exact words here in the first chapter, but there was a ship. God had this ship. God prepared this ship. Jonah goes to the ship. He gets in this ship, and off they go. God prepares a storm. God prepares a storm that caused this ship to rock up and down and almost destroyed it. So God had prepared a storm, a wind, and then God prepared a fish. Moving on then, after he leaves the Nineveh, after preaching, God says that he prepared a plant, and then he prepared a worm. And then after that, he prepares another wind and prepares more heat to the situation and really gets Job discouraged. There's some heat involved and wind once again. God is doing all this preparing to bring Job closer to him, to bring Job to the point of submitting and being okay with who God is and his sovereign way of working. Now, that's Jonah. We've mentioned his name a lot. I would like to go over here and let's take Jonah's name off of here, and you put your name up there, and whatever your name is. And so I'm going to go like this, and we're going to call this, now for the sake of just you understanding what I'm doing, I'm going to call it Wendell Story. That's my name. And you put your name there, whatever it is. Put it there, and let's see how God maybe can use this story and this account of Jonah to help us. Probably none of us are running like Jonah did. None of us are, I don't think, planning on catching an airplane tomorrow out of Dublin to fly to get away from what God has asked us to do. I hope not. I pray that tomorrow you will go to what God is calling you to do. Or you could catch a train, or you could catch a bus, or you could whatever. You could even get on the boat here at Dunmore, I guess, if you want to. But I don't think we're doing that. But yet, maybe we are running. We all run sometimes in one way or the other, away from God and what he wants for us. God's call was for Jonah to go to Nineveh to preach. Jonah at first ran from that. But he found out that he needs to obey God. And then he did. And God worked with him there. And then we know what happened. He wasn't happy with the way God worked because of his obedience, and then finds himself still not happy with God's will for his life and God's plan. So the question I have for you, how well are you accepting God's call and God's plan for your life? How well are you doing with that? Are you content? Are you obeying what God has given to you to do? I would say if you're not accepting, and I say you, and for myself, if I'm not accepting God's call for my life right now, wherever I'm at, and I'm not content in that, then I believe God, in later years, you're not going to be content where God has you placed then. I believe God wants us content and happy where we're at right now. I believe that's what's important to him. That we are accepting God's plan and his will right now, wherever you're at, however that may look, the big question is, how do I know God's plan for my life? And I think that was asked in our Sunday school this morning. It's hard. There's no pat answer to say, how do you find God's will? If you do this, you will find God's will for your life. We don't have that. So how do I know God's will for my life? I don't believe maybe we will always know exactly what His will is. But God does have the grace for us to accept where we are at presently. We will not always know, but we will be the most happiest and useful if we are content where we are at and not running away from God and His plan. Or maybe, hopefully, we don't get angry at God, but I believe it can get to that point if we don't watch it. Philippians 2:13-14 says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing." And then just two chapters later in Philippians 4:11 says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content." This is Paul speaking, but I believe it's for us today, that we need to be content where God has placed each one of us. Maybe you're a person literally who is running from God. Maybe you're a person that has never accepted Christ as your Savior. And you're literally running away from God. If you are going the wrong direction. I was thinking about the direction that Job, when he was running, and we talked about his downward spiral. And literally, I believe this is, kind of probably the way it looked. As he went down, circled around, he went down, 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 down. That was the spiral that Jonah experienced. The further he went, the longer we run away from God and His will for our life, or if it's accepting His lordship in our life, the harder it is, the further we get away, and the harder it is to come back. But it's never too hard. God will always be there, no matter where we are at in that running experience. Our enemy, the devil, is in a sense wrapping those of us that in the past maybe weren't willing to accept the lordship of Christ in our life. And the enemy just wraps us up, just like maybe Jonah experienced in the belly of the whale with that seaweed. And the more we get wrapped up, the tighter it becomes, and the more, enclosed we become in the grips of the enemy. God wants us to experience life in Him. Every one of us is on the sea of life. Every one of us are on a ship, and we're sailing this sea of life. Are we sailing in the right direction? How well are you faring the storms that maybe God has prepared for you? Maybe He has prepared a wind that has caused your boat to be tossed about. Are you exhausted in the storm? Are you exhausted? Are you experiencing fatigue? Sure, we all do at times. God wants us to be able to wake up and to experience His saving grace. Has God asked something of you that you are having a hard time agreeing with and not understanding? Job did not understand at all. God had asked him to do something, he did it, and then God does something very different than what he thought God was telling him to do. Maybe we have found a shelter to somewhat maybe remove ourselves, to just sit back and say, well, if this is the way it is, this is the way it is. And we sit back and somewhat give up, and maybe even feel sorry for ourselves. We can feel that way at times. And so I would say that the idea here for the message and kind of where it has come from is if we're a Christian, each one of us, I believe many of us here are Christians and experiencing the Christian life. And if you're a Christian and you're experiencing any of these issues on your voyage, the boat, whatever troubling water it may be in, if you're experiencing that, what are you doing with it? Look at the valves. Let's look at the two things that Jonah did that got him out of this predicament, that got him out of the fish's belly. And we want to close with these thoughts. The two things that got Jonah out of that fish was, one, he talked about the vow that he had made with the Lord. Whatever that vow was, it was important to him. I want to read here possibly a vow that many of you have made as you committed your heart and your life to God and to the brotherhood. Here is one. There is five, and I don't know, different churches use different ones, but they're all, I think, based on the same principles. But the one that really stood out to me, it says, number five, it says, "Do you promise by the grace of God and the aid of His Holy Spirit to submit yourself to Christ?" That word submit. "Submit yourself to Christ in His word and faithfully to abide in the same until death." And the answer for that is, I do. And probably many of us have made that vow to God. Do we take it seriously? Do we need to look at it like Job looked at it again and said, listen, he said, I'm struggling and I want to pay this vow that I have made to God. I want to get back on track. And then the other part that probably that has stood out to me the most in this whole story of Jonah is that he offers a prayer of thanksgiving. He comes to God in a thankful heart in the middle of his journey in the fish's belly. What a place to give thanks to God. I too often dwell on the negatives. You open up, you look at the front page of a paper, it's all about the bad things that have happened. And we tend to talk and feel the bad things in our life and to dwell on them. But there's many good things that we can dwell on. God wants our praise and He wants our thanks. If we return those to Him, we feel much better. This comes about, I believe, through each one of us praying and sharing to God and then sharing with each other things that we are thankful for. And so I would encourage for each one of us to do much better at this in the area of thanking God, even for the difficult things, the worm maybe that has destroyed something, or the difficult ride that you're on presently. It gets your mind off of yourself and the things that you wish would be different, and it puts your mind on God. God created you. He created me for a purpose, and that purpose is to glorify Him, to thank God for the things that He is doing in your life. That brings glory to Him. It doesn't bring glory to talk about the negatives. Sure, we need to maybe talk about that some, but we don't dwell on that. We focus on God and we glorify Him. I want to close. Jonathan is going to play a song on the speakers here. And the song is one that I've heard. It's fairly new. I don't think we'd be able to sing it. And so I just want you to close your eyes, bow your heads where you're sitting, and listen to the song. It talks about thanking God through all the difficult situations that we face. It's just been so powerful for me recently. It says in the song, it says, I have so much to thank Him for. It says, look around and see the good things that God has done for me. We don't do that so often. We look around and we see the bad things, and then we focus on that. It talks about the blessings that God freely gives to us. In the song, it talks about stopping to pray to say, thank you, Lord. That's what Jonah did. He got to the point where he stopped and he said, thank you for what you are doing through me and want to do with me. And then the end of the song, it talks about us reaching heaven's shore, and there we will thank God for what He has done for us. When I think of what He's done and where He's brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for. Why don't you just bow your heads and close your eyes, and we'll have this song at this time, and then I'll have a closing prayer.
I've got so much to thank Him for, so much.
see the good things he does for me, I know. I'm unworthy of them all, and his blessings he freely gives, I owe my life to him. I've got so much to thank him for. I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for. You see, he has been so good to me. So much to thank him for. And sometimes, while on this way, I kneel and I stop and say, Lord, thank you for all you've done for me. And one day, I'll reach heaven's shore, oh please, let me kneel once more. I've got so much to thank you for. I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for, you see. He has been so good to me. When I think of what he's done and where he's brought me from, I've got so much to thank him for. When I think of what he's done, so much to thank him for.
Thank you, God, for your love. We thank you that you are a God that cares about each one of us. We thank you that you have done so much for us, and if we look around, we see the many things that you have given to us. We know at times the way is difficult and the sea is rough. We don't understand your ways, but we pray, God, that we would not focus on the bad things but on the good things and glorify you in that. Give us strength for the voyage ahead, for the rough seas, for the calm seas. We thank you for each experience and for the way you prepare things to draw us to you, and help us through those times of preparing to come through in a positive way, thanking you for the things you've given to us. Help us to go with a heart of thanksgiving, a heart of love, and passing on the goodness and the good things you're doing for us to those around us. Go with us now and keep us. We pray this in your worthy name. Amen.